publishing it anywhere, but that way I don't have to like frantically take crazy notes.
Yeah, it's hard to listen and take notes at the same time.
Right. And then, like, when I go back and read my notes, I won't know what they mean. Right,
it's like, wait, why did I say this?
Yes, I did that with the first one. I was like, I have no idea what this means.
Oh, no. Yes, record away, please.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, so I guess my first question, basic question is, are you familiar with shamanism at all?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I understand what it is that you do. Okay. I know that shamans are healers and assist other people in working through their own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. What does deepening your spirituality mean to you?
I guess just getting more in touch with the essence of what we actually are outside of this physical realm that we see, you know, what's inside the shell, you know, just detaching from the physical and yeah, just getting in touch with who we are and where we came from and what we're here to do.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay. Why is doing that work important to you?
I feel like from a young age, I've always wanted to know the truth about life. And, you know, I always found myself asking, why are we here? What is this? What are we doing? And growing up in a religious household, it was always the same answer. Mm-hmm. And that never satiated me, ever. Even at a young age, even though I was grown up into it, it just didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So it seems like ever since I left home is when I started embarking on my own truth-seeking, you know, just having the freedom to read things, look at things, discover people talking about, you know, life. And I discovered some people on YouTube, and it just led me down a path I forgot what the question was. What was the question?
Why is doing this, like, the spiritual work important to you?
Okay, so yeah, it's important because the further I've been peeling back the layers of my ego, the more at peace I have felt. Mm-hmm. And up until like a year or so ago, I was there. Like I kept saying, like, I feel like my finger is touching peace. Like I'm there. I could feel it within me, just from all the work that I had slowly been doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then something happened and that whole bubble just burst. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like working my way back towards it. And it's been a longer road than I thought, but I mean, it's only been a year and I'm already feeling like I'm getting back into that groove and that flow that I was in before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess kind of on that note, like in what ways do you feel like continuing to do this work will improve your life?
I feel like it just makes me a better person in general, and I can feel that spreads to other people, and that's really important. I've had several really deep connective moments with people that I don't even, you know, they're not even my close friends, but knowing that my closeness to truth and spirituality and love was able to impact someone in such a short amount of time, that was very powerful. And it was happening over and over again. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know these people. And they're telling me that I'm impacting their lives in such a positive way, just my presence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's, you know, that's how we go about changing the world, is just spreading love and, you know, just showing people that you don't have to be this ego. You don't have to be consumed by everything you see on TV. And there's so much more to who we are than what we see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Let's see. Okay. I guess you spoke to this a little bit, but like with where you're at now, have you looked into like program or support to help you continue to deepen from here?
I haven't actually. actually. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because my time is so, with, I have two small, you know, kids.
Yeah.
And it's just, I feel like I'm spread so thin. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't really, you know, I'll like join a bunch of things and I'll say, I want this newsletter and I want to hear this and I want to hear that. And then it's like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to read it. I don't have time to do this. And especially now that we're undergoing this huge renovation, it's just, my brain is elsewhere.
Yeah.
but I want to, and I see it. I see it happening in my future. I see myself really, you know, diving into that. Mm-hmm. As I get older and I have less, less obligation mm-hmm. here at my house, you know.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I looked into, like, the silent retreats because mm-hmm. I felt like after, what happened last year, whenever I felt like I kind of lost everything that I had gained, which I know you never really lose it, but I really, there's something mm-hmm. blocking me. I was like, I need to go to a 10-day retreat. I need to do something to just clear my head and, yeah. and get back to source.
Yeah. Oops, did I lose you a second?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, like, on that note, let me think how I want to phrase this question. what do you think, what would be, like, the number one thing that would have you say yes to something like that?
To like join a program and like go through the steps. What would have to happen for me to do that?
Yeah.
Like right now?
I would say both, like, in maybe on two sides, both like from like in your life, like what would it feel like to be ready for something like that? And then also like what would from the other end of it, like, what about the person offering the program would you need? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So as far as my life, I would definitely feel like I need to be in a place with less obligation than I do now.
Yeah.
To certain things, you know, just, yeah, I mean, just doing the house renovation, I already feel like I'm neglecting my kids, and they've already made that very known, and I had to tell them, like, this is just temporary, you know, so, you know, they need me right now, and I feel like I can't disappear or be gone, you know, which, I mean, I don't even know how long or how much time I would have to dedicate to it, personally, I would want a physical space to go to.
Yeah.
I can't do things from home. It just does not work.
Yeah.
So, like, even doing, you know, yoga and stuff, I have to go to a place that offers it. I cannot do it at home because it just, the distractions are insane.
Yeah.
So I would need a physical space and, like, a cutout chunk of time or very regimented every single Monday, every single, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, something with, like, really clear boundaries around it.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, cool. Let me see. Let me look up in my notes here a second. Let me switch gears a little bit, actually.
Okay.
And I know some of this is going to continue to overlap, of course, but what would you say, like, right now is your biggest burning problem or dilemma? Like, what keeps you up at night?
Ooh, my mother.
It's always the damn moms.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. Just pretty much my relationship with my mother.
Mm. Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah. So she's bipolar, and although we didn't know this until, like, kind of recently, she's in her 60s now, but she was, all we knew as children, me and my sister, was that she was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would leave us. It was just me, my mom, my sister, and she would leave us for days at a time. I never knew if I was going to get picked up from school. And it was like this big secret. So I always had to lie to my teachers and say, oh, we're having car trouble. Can you take me home? And it was just like, oh, it was a lot. It was a lot to deal with. And I guess the most influential time in a child's life, it was, from what it was like third grade to like sixth grade, seventh grade. And so, you know, I'm like 10 years old and having to, I had to walk home sometimes and, you know, just her not being there. And then she'd come back and it's like, we would never talk about it. And yeah, so it was just like this abandonment and neglect, but then she'd come back and it's like, everything's normal. And it just happened over and over again. And, you know, we didn't live with her after that. We were with my dad. But it's just, it's still kind of continued and is still continuing today. You know, like I finally, for the first time, expressed to her how much she kind of messed me up in my childhood from, you know, being neglected and abandoned. And she was like, well, that hearing that makes me want to go hang myself. And I'm like, you don't say that to your child. You don't do that. And she's done that several times in the past, you know, calling me up, tell me you need me right now or I'm going to walk into this lake. It's just, you know, it's just been that a lot, repeated cycles over and over. And, you know, finally in February, I told her, like, I cannot do this. I cannot talk to you right now. I need to go see a therapist. And I did. And I had a therapy session before this whole COVID thing broke out, and then that stopped. But what the therapist said was I needed to create boundaries because I'm still here for my mom. I've helped my mom move 3 times. I'm always helping her with electronics. I don't know why I've been bending over backwards to continue to make her happy when she's not even really ever been an actual mother to me. I'm more of her mother.
Right.
And it was just becoming a bit too much, you know, like I don't really want to talk to her. I don't really need her in my life. As shitty as that sounds, it's just, you know, we're not friends. She's like on another planet. So that's really been, I guess, disturbing me. Since February, since we haven't been talking. Okay. Yeah. It's like we're not talking, but I'm thinking about her more now because I feel like an asshole for not talking to her. So it's just this weird space, you know?
Yeah, got it. Okay. Got it. Thank you for sharing that. In a similar way, what would you say you most want to change in your life?
Oh, man. Probably some of the thoughts that I have about, like, negative thoughts that I'll have towards people, not understanding it. Again, I'm sure it all stems from my mother. I have a really hard time understanding why people do some of the things that they do. Or why people will put up with things from people that they don't like. I have this very, like, it angers me when I see people dealing with other people's crap or, you know, someone doing something and it's just, yeah, I just don't, something out of selfishness. I don't know. It's like any of the seven sins, you know, whenever I see it happening, it makes me so angry. And then I start having bad thoughts about them, and I'm like, well, wait, no, now I'm doing it. So it's like cutting off that pattern, and I wish I could look at people with more love, and I was starting to do that before, where I would have a negative thought about someone, and then be able to change it, like I would step immediately and say no, and then I would think something positive about them, but it's like I've lost that habit, so I wish I could change that, which again takes work. It takes that awareness and the work to do it.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Think that's most of my questions. Let me just look over this one more time and see if anything pops out at me. Ah, yes. Yes. If you were to do some more formal work here in this area, what time of the week is the most convenient for you to reserve time for yourself?
Probably either during the week after 5, or like on a Sunday, just because I like to have my weekends with my family.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, beautiful. Okay, yeah, that looks like that's good. Okay, that wraps that part up. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I really appreciate yeah, your willingness to talk about that and get it out there for me to play with.
Yeah. That was the thing I wanted to focus on during the second half.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful. So, let me just double check that you're in a good space to continue here. You have some space or some privacy.
Yes, oh yes.
Okay, beautiful. Okay, well, let's just kind of switch gears and get settled in. So, to start, go ahead and close your eyes just for a second.
Okay.
And maybe give your body a couple little wiggles, wiggle your shoulder, wiggle your hips. I kind of like to rub the tops of my legs. And give yourself three nice big breaths. So I'm just going to kind of guide you through a few little energy setting pieces here. So, let's begin by bringing your awareness back into your body, all of the little bits that like to be out working on other things. Thinking about the kids or your family, on projects and creations. And you might even imagine, it kind of helps me to have like a receptacle almost in the middle of my head. So as I'm gathering those pieces and those parts of me that are scattered about, that they have kind of a place to collect. So let's just take a minute there. Yeah, and I kind of noticed that the energy wants to like drop right down to the heart and radiate out right away. And I just like to try to keep that awareness in the center of your head just for right now. And then from here, imagine some divine light coming in from above. Down through the top of your head. And that can come down all the way through the middle of your body, like following your spinal column. And actually going right down into the earth. And then from here, send out some grounding cords from the base of your spine. And I like to imagine like the back of the lower part of my back is like a tree trunk, and those roots can come right down out from my back and down into the earth. And those ends can just open right up and start to absorb some of that beautiful loving energy from Mama Gaia. Matter of fact, you can maybe even put your hands palm down right on the ground near you. And with your eyes closed, go ahead and let some of that energy that wants to come out of your heart come right down from your arms into the palms of your hands, and you can feed it right into the earth. And then in turn, you can see these roots that you've put down go ahead and start drinking up some even more from the earth and kind of letting it fill up the bottom half of your body. And then we're just going to go ahead and kind of clear out the system. So again, focusing on the top of the head, let's let like almost like a waterfall of light come in through the top of your head and just sort of fill up the top half of your body. And then open up like a drain on the bottom and let all of that flush right out of the bottom. And that can go right back down into the earth too. And so I'd just like to take a moment to invite any helping or compassionate spirits or support that would like to guide us in our work today. And Sarah, I'll offer you a moment here for you to say a little prayer for yourself, for something that you've been wanting or calling in. And you're welcome to do it out loud, but you can just have that for yourself if you want as well. Okay. So go ahead and open your eyes again, and so let's move into this work a little bit. So I'm going to have you say, like, in maybe a few sentences, what you wanted to look at today.
Okay. Well, kind of said it in my little prayer. I feel like I need to open my heart to peace with my mom, who she is, to other people, who they are. Like doing circles over my heart now. I just feel like it's been very shut, I guess. I'm closed off, and it's like I go through this rhetoric in my head every day, reminding myself why I'm not talking to her and why I don't want to be in her life. And I just don't feel like that's healthy.
Can you hold on a second? I'm just kind of looking for an entry point here. Can you say a little bit about what it feels like in your body when she does, when she has reached out to you, either in person or like even just in your mind when you imagine her needing something from you?
Probably in like my solar plexus. Feel it in my gut.
Yeah, got it. What I'm kind of interested in playing with here, is, I feel like we have a vow happening here in your system. So what that looks like is, you know, when we're young, we don't really get a say in what happens in our life, and we don't really have any control.
Right.
So we get control by internalizing it. And a lot of times that means we make promises to ourselves. And obviously it's fucking awesome that we do it at the time, and that's how we kind of like survive this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then a lot of times we kind of forget that we've made that promise, and so it continues to like operate the system. So the thing that we're trying to not have happen, we end up kind of like clinging to so that we can remember that we don't want it. And uh-huh. then we end up just bringing it back to us
right.
over and over again to remind ourselves that that's not what we want.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of shift that. And so I'd like to kind of take a look. And this might just be a little bit of playing around with some wording from both of us. So, okay, give me just a second here. Let me just check a couple of things. When you were little, was your mom pretty loud? Did she yell?
No.
Okay. What I'm kind of seeing, so maybe you can bring some clarity here. I'm kind of seeing, like a hiding place that you had, maybe? Or like an escape, a place to kind of escape? What comes up for you when I say that?
I mean, gosh, it's hard to say, because I mean, most of the time when we were grieving, it would be when my mom was not there. So, I mean, as far as a hiding place, and we all, me and my mom slept in the same room, so her room was my room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd go into the bathroom and watch myself cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go into my grandmother's old room and play with my Barbies or, you know. Yeah, I can't really think of like a specific hiding spot mm-hmm. or somewhere that I would go. Because when she was there, we were peace, love, and happiness. But when she was gone, it was just awful. It was weird. It was a very contrasting way to feel about my mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved her when she was there. I hated her when she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like my escape was in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting like a couple contrasting things like going on. Like it feels partially like there's a wall that's been built up, as like protection. But then also it feels like that area that you built is like vacated too. Which is very, very clever. yeah. So, let's go ahead and check out the solar plexus because that just keeps coming up. And you mentioned it also. So do you feel like you could just we can do two things. If you think you can just kind of like go there, we can do that. Or if you want some help, I can like walk you through a process to kind of get you there.
Okay.
What sounds best for you?
Well, get me where exactly?
Into your solar plexus.
I might need to be walked through.
Okay.
What would that feel like?
So let's do this. Start by imagining just a little teeny version of yourself.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have you walk in to your body from your third eye.
Okay.
Okay. So when you get in there, I'm gonna have you see an elevator in front, and we're gonna take that down to your solar plexus. Don't get in and go down yet, but let's just start with, do you have a sense of the elevator? Okay, beautiful. Yes, and I like that it's elaborate already. So go ahead and get in the elevator and close the door. And then when you're ready, hit the down button. And so just kind of track yourself moving down, down through your throat. Keep on coming down into your heart, even if it gets a little bumpy. Come on down to the lower part of your rib cage and lungs. And then, when you feel like you've arrived, like sort of at the level of your solar plexus, go ahead and let me know, and we'll open the door in a minute. Don't open it quite yet. Okay, good. Beautiful. Okay, cool. So, okay, go ahead and hit the button and let the door open. And. When is it that you see or notice first?
Oh, man.
So I might start with like, can you see your feet? What is it? Does it look like you're standing on something solid? What does that look like?
I just saw like whiteness, like openness.
Can you like wander around? Maybe take a few more steps out.
Man, this is hard.
You're doing good. So, can I share with you what it feels like to me right now? What I'm noticing is it does feel vast. It feels like there's a lot of it doesn't feel heavy to me at all. It feels like there's a lot of lightness and openness. And it feels like it's all going out. Like there's no reserve for you. So what I think would be nice is to kind of work on, putting a structure here, especially in the solar plexus. This is sort of like the center of our like earth body ship. And so yeah, I mean it's like kind of the center of ourself too, and it's hard it's great to be open, but then also it's hard to be clear on where your boundaries are if you don't have any, like, for yourself. So we can just play here. We can actually just, like, imagine, like, I like to have a structure here, like a house of some kind.
I can see, I want a greenhouse.
Yeah, 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 perfect. I love that. So, yeah, looks like you kind of got the structure going already, and,
And it's tall.
And I can't quite tell, are you inside of it? Or are you on the
outside? I just walked in now.
Okay, beautiful.
But I feel like the windows aren't clean, like it's not a new greenhouse. I can see that they're old.
Okay, so we can take like a golden sponge and clean those off. And we'll just see how that goes.
I can see light coming in as I clean. Like beams.
And you're probably, are you a little bit empathic too?
Oh, very.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that for sure.
And I also want to please everybody. Yeah. So I'm working on boundaries, I'm working on saying no.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I can just talk at your head a little bit while you're kind of playing around with cleaning it up in there and making it more yours, I think I can. We all kind of have like energetic blueprints that tie into like the curriculum we're here to learn in this and usually many lifetimes. It looks like. I'll just share with you on a personal note, I feel like one of yours is kind of a match to mine. And it's very tricky. There is definitely a type of person that wants to orient around what other people want. Like the kind of the bottom line energetic is I'll feel safe when I'm what you want me to be. And this is kind of similar to how we operate, but ours is like a little bit different. So it can feel like we're trying to please people, but really it's more about just staying in relationship with other people. Because we tend to experience things through other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you? Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, like, super gift, and you probably have a knack for being able to pinpoint where people need help. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So, so there's not, when we have all of our energy, like, kind of out there checking on people all the time, both out of, like, sheer obligation, like, motherhood, and out of, like, this energy pattern, we kind of lose where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we're working on this place right here. And, coming back to it, or even just, like, in the moment, in the midst of feeling sort of off-centered by things that are happening around you, kind of instantaneously remembering this feeling of what it's like to be in your center here. And then coming back to the situation you're trying to navigate and kind of being in that space. And it certainly doesn't mean that we don't get pulled into other people's stuff ever again or that we always know exactly who we are, but just, like, having a location to come to when, like, our energy's trying to feel out and figure out where where we are.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I've had a hard time coming back into myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I give my energy away to so many people on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the other piece. That's beautiful awareness. That's the other piece I kind of wanted to look at, is being able to, like, nourish your own needs.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know that in that space, you are then able to, like, give to other people.
Absolutely.
More. So, from here in your solar plexus, I know you said that you're feeling, let me just check in. How's it going down there? How are you feeling? And what do you notice?
I'm feeling more clarity, mm-hmm. for sure. I feel like I have a path now. Mm-hmm. Whereas I couldn't see anything, now I think the structure really helped in cleaning up the windows and just having a goal, having something to cultivate and nourish, yes. as you would in a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like you can tell that this is yours?
Not initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of felt like it's something I hadn't been to in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why it seems so dirty and so old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, if you were to imagine some gold divine light coming in from the top of your head and coming down into your solar plexus, can it come into the greenhouse?
Yes.
Okay. And can it stay there?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. And it might be nice to, like, open up a window or something, too. Just to sort of, like, kind of take the pressure off of your system of having to, like, hold it all.
Right.
Yeah. So... So, I still... I'm a little torn, because I don't want to rush this, and the vow thing keeps coming up to me, and it seems like there's maybe a vow around needs. I keep seeing you when you're like 5,
uh-huh.
and so. Let's just play around with some things, and if you want to talk a little bit more about, you know, maybe what your, like, what that felt like, the difference between mom being there and not being there, that might uh-huh. be an entry point. What I hear... And again, this isn't necessarily the thing, but just to get us going, is I keep hearing you scream, I need truth.
Yeah. I definitely, whenever I was dealing with that, whenever she'd be gone, I would always, like, talk to God and say, why? Like, why is this happening to me? Why is this in my life? Because I really felt like the only person in school. I was going to a private Christian school, so mm-hmm. it's like all these kids lived in nice houses. I mean, we lived in a shitty house, too, like roach-infested, rat-infested, mm-hmm. spiders. I mean, it was like hell.
mm-hmm.
It was just such a contrast to what I felt everyone else's life was like. And I didn't understand why that was. Like, what? Even then, I wanted to know what the purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely shaped me for the better.
Mm-hmm. let's just kind of focus in a little bit more on, like, when you say, why me? Obviously, there's lots of layers there. And what are the first couple things that come to mind that that you, like, didn't want, that you were angry at having to experience?
My mom being an alcoholic, her not being reliable, reliability has been an issue that has followed me to this day. Like, I refuse to carpool with people because I don't trust anybody. Like, I have a trust, a reliability thing. You know, if someone says they're going to be here at this time, I don't believe them. But I am, like, me being, I'm not a control freak because I don't, like, disturb anyone else's, you know, livelihood. But I definitely feel that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I'm going to be somewhere at some time, I'm there and earlier. You know, I'm, like, overcompensating.
Right, right. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's like, we'll get the wording. We'll get there. What it feels like is, not being able to depend on anybody else and making sure that you're the dependable one, is creating situations where you're, like, having to be the one to rely on yourself. So that you can know where you are by comparing it to how other people are. Let me think. So what it's inviting in your system is evidence that other people aren't reliable and can't be trusted, so that you can remind yourself that you are reliable. You wouldn't do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like self-validation through other people's lack.
Yes, yes. So I kind of want to play again with that wording, like, if you can tune into what you felt like around that time, you know, was there, like, a promise or something to yourself that I'm never going to be this way, or...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm never going to be this way to my children. I will always be there for them, no matter what. You know, I'll be in their lives. I'll be present and aware. All of that. And really, having my own kids made it worse. Yeah. Like, made the way that I feel towards my mom 10 times worse, because now my kids are the age that I was when I was experiencing all of the garbage that she was doing, and it enrages me. It makes me so upset and so hard to even fathom how she could leave us. I mean, she would leave me and my sister, and I had a brother at the time. He died when I was just 3 or 4, but he was 15 when he died. There was a big age gap there, but she would take all of us to a stranger's house and leave us with a neighbor saying that she needs to run to the hospital because she's got some kidney issues, but she'd be going out to drink, and my dad would come home from work and see an address and say, the kids are here. And it's just that, I can't even wrap my head around that. It's just, it's so neglectful and so selfish, and I can't understand it. And so all of that, like, as my kids have gotten older, I'm even more angry towards my mom. So I think giving myself to my mom and still extending myself to help her wasn't making sense to me anymore. And I was saying yes to things just to please her for whatever reason, to be reliable, to be the reliable person she never was for me. And that doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah, like something along the lines of, I'm always going to be, I'll always be there for others.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what does it feel like was the thing that you wanted to get when you were a child?
I guess just that unconditional love that I felt like I didn't have. Mm-hmm. That, well, I don't even know if that's the right word. You know, your parents are supposed to be there. They are your number one person to rely on. Like, she wasn't even there when I started my period. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, really, of all the significant moments in my life that a girl needs a mother, mm-hmm. she was gone. And my sister had to kind of, you know, walk me through what to do next. And it was just, it was so disappointing not having that person. You know, your parents are supposed to be your people.
Yeah.
And I felt like I kind of had to raise myself in many levels and layers of that, mm-hmm. figuring things out.
Do you feel like you can sense, like, when you continue to make this, like, promise that I'm always going to be there for others, do you feel like you, like, wrote it down somewhere? Like, either literally on a piece of paper or, like, stored it somewhere in your body? Like, where did you put that?
I definitely wrote it. I was always writing mm-hmm. in, like, my diary journal thing about, my mom's doing this again, and I don't understand it, and I will never be like this, and, oh, yeah, I've written it down, probably so many times mm-hmm. in my journals, which, it's funny, I used to keep them in my bedside, and I had a piece of big purple amethyst also on my mm-hmm. bedside, and I started having nightmares like crazy. And a friend of mine, she was like, well, what's on your bedside? Why, what's happening? And I told her, I'm like, well, I have these journals with all these horrible memories from my childhood. She said, the amethyst is just transmitting that to you every night. Mm-hmm. So she did Reiki on my amethyst to clear it and told me to get rid of the journals. And I don't know why I cannot get rid of them. Mm-hmm. So I put them in my attic. Mm-hmm. So they're far away from my bed now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of that went away immediately. And I'm always charging my crystals under the moonlight to just kind of aid with mm-hmm. positivity and stuff. But yeah, I've written it, I'm sure, 100 times, that I won't be like that, and that, you know, I'll do what I say. And just
so let's play with flipping this around. If your promise was, I'm always going to be there, I wonder what it would feel like in your system if your new vow might be, I'm always going to be here, as in my own experience.
Oh, I like that.
Or even, we could even get more simple and say, I am here.
I felt like my solar plexus just filled up with energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't you say that out loud one time?
I am here. Mm-hmm. I am here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting closer.
I am here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful.
I feel like I need to write that down. Mm-hmm. Right, yes. At least 3 times to solidify it.
Yes, totally, totally. Yeah. Yeah, you get to keep some of your own energy. You know, there's like a way that we tend to want to like help and fix everybody else and get everybody else's needs met so that we can then get our needs met. And there again, it's usually the reverse is like how it works.
Right. I have to fill my cup before I can give to others.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Totally. Mm-hmm. You can fill your cup just because you fucking want to have a full cup, not even just so that you can give it to others. Like, you get to have it just because you fucking want it.
Right. Yeah, and it's not, see, immediately my brain wants to say, oh, but that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, we need to be selfish.
Yep.
It's a different kind of selfishness that I think gets lost.
Yes. Yeah. Just take a second here and let's bring in some more light from above, you in this greenhouse and your solar plexus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even play a little bit. I feel like I can see a little, like, I don't know, like sparklies or like little fairy things flying around or something around you.
You cannot imagine how many times I have been told by people that I'm a fairy. My friend, who she had something happened to her, and she can now, like, see through this world. She can see, like, giants and all sorts of things, and she was doing Reiki on me, and she could feel the wind from my wings. And she was like, You are connected to fairies. You are a fairy. There is something there. And I've been called that by people my whole life. That's so funny that you said that.
Yeah. Yeah, and here again, it's like you get to have, like, that magic just for you, just for fun. It just so happens that other people end up benefiting from, you know, you being here. So, this feels like a good place to stop for today.
That was great.
So I'm just gonna have you just to kind of, like, close it up formally. Have you, see the elevator again and go ahead and open the door and get back in. And then close the door and you can shoot right all the way on up back to your third eye. And then as you walk out of the elevator and out of your third eye, I like to just imagine that little version of me kind of dissolving back into my body. And, And so again, I just want to take a moment and, thank, any helping and compassionate beings and ancestors, that have been here to help us in this work today. Thank you, give yourself some gratitude for showing up and, your consistent willingness to do the work.
Yeah, this was, I needed this.
Yeah. Beautiful. And this can be like an ongoing practice. It is for all of us, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Before I let you go, do you have any like last thoughts or questions or things that you want to presence?
This was good. I think that realization happened with the reversing.
Mm-hmm.
Reversing how I'm looking at things and the way I'm using my energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I kind of forgot that.
Yeah. Totally. Have fun with writing that down too.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
So let's just go ahead and do one more shot of that divine light coming down through your body. Maybe even stretching your arms up in the air. Giving your hips a little wiggle and kind of bringing your present awareness all the way back to here and now. And it might be beneficial since you do have other people in the house with you or in your life who are used to you being a certain way, like if it makes sense to kind of send your energy out into the other room before you actually go to the other room. And then that sort of like allows other people to adjust to what you're, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
Kind of like a prime.
Yeah,
exactly. Like I'm priming them.
Oh my God, I love that word. I'm totally writing that down. Yes. Perfect. Okay, what a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great.
Yeah, it's nice to connect to you too.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time since we met and talked.
Right? So fun, but I always love seeing what you got going on in your life and your beautiful family, so thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you too. I love seeing all your updates and everything you've done and your travels.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Thanks, same.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. Well, I'm going to let you go and let you play in this space. Thank you again. I'll shoot you a little email follow-up. I don't know if you would want this at all, but I recorded it, so I might just send it to you, and then you can have it, and you can keep it if you want, or you can just whatever.
Sure, yeah, that'd be nice to just replay and remind myself if I'm feeling lost.
Yeah, beautiful. That'd okay, be nice. Sweet. Well, thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your day and week.
Thanks, you too.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful. Oh, what a lovely soul.